In the name of Jesus, dear friends. They're at it again. They're grumbling again. At the start of the chapter, we don't know what kind of grumbling this is, but it's grumbling that brings results. It's grumbling that gets something accomplished, but not what they wanted to have accomplished. These bellyachers, only 3 days from the holy mountain, are complaining. And it's not exactly a prayer. No, it's recorded in Scripture for us as a complaining in the hearing of Yahweh. Oops. And the anger of Yahweh burned against them, and also the fire of Yahweh burned around the edges of the camp. And it wasn't a cauterization, it was a warning. For this complaining, this dysentery of discontent spread from out to in, and from the rabble even to the children of Israel, and they complained. And God hears, and his wrath burns. See, not everything that's a prayer to us is not a prayer to him. At the burning bush, where the fire did not consume the bush, Moses heard these words. I have surely heard the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. Doesn't seem to be a prayer. In fact, Moses has to ask, now what's your name again? But that was heard. And so was this grumbling that got results. And the results for this latest grumbling about the manna, that's later. All we need to remember here is it's faithless. Just like the earlier faithless whining that brought results. And I can't help trembling and ask, what faithless grumbling have I done? Has it been in the hearing of Yahweh, and if so, what mercy has kept the fire from me? Burnout, maybe, but not this. And Moses is burned out. And could it be that this complaining has worked its way not only from the rabble to the sons of Israel, but to Moses himself, and Moses puts up his own murmur? It's in that same tradition as he received from Adam. This woman whom you gave to me, she gave me of the fruit and I ate. It's all your fault, these people. And are you kidding me? Did I give birth to these people that you say to me, carry them as a nurse carries a nursing infant until you bring them to the land you have promised? And then, in a tradition that will continue at least as far as Elijah, when fleeing from Jezebel, he throws himself under the broom tree and says, it is enough. Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers. And Moses has that selfish, childish prayer. Lord, if this is how you're going to treat me, then take me now. That selfish prayer isn't dignified with a response. But the suffering behind the prayer isn't selfish. It's about Moses' vocation as shepherd of Israel. Well, truth be told, the shepherd of Israel is the Lord Almighty, but Yahweh was leading his flock through the hand of Moses and Aaron. His congregation was 600,000, and they were traveling through the howling wilderness, as the hymn puts it, or as Moses himself calls it, all that great and terrifying wilderness that you saw. And so Moses is burnt out and empty and ready to go. When it becomes his time, later on, it seems he doesn't protest, and yet, within sight of the promised land, I can't help thinking it was somewhat bitter. And so every Transfiguration Day, I give a little cheer for Moses. Way to go, Moses! Feet in a promised land at last. Moses, was that a fine wine you gave to God that instead of the fire he provided the elders? No. The prayer wasn't all that fine. It really was a desperate dump. But Yahweh is gracious. And he promised to give the land to the children of Israel that he had sworn to their fathers, to Abraham, his servant, and his children. And so Yahweh sifted out all the selfishness, and instead of judgment and death, which he could tell Moses, you asked for it, gave relief through an unexpected and yet strangely familiar way. For it was with 70 of the elders that he ate and drank in the presence of God on that sapphire surface. And it was Jethro, his father-in-law, who gave him the advice he readily implemented to break down the judging task among those qualified in Israel. And Yahweh gives grace. And Yahweh answers the prayer that Moses makes, for his wine, whether it's not so fine, is indeed a prayer. And there are still more righteous requests that this brings to mind. Righteous requests that were, in fact, denied. Moses, after the burning calf incident, wished to offer his eternal life to spare the children of Israel. So Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Alas, for this people has sinned a great sin. They have made for themselves gods of gold, but now if you will forgive their sin, but if not, please blot me out of your book that you have written." Request denied. The one who sins will have his name blotted out. The judgment for this is, "I will not go up with you." For Moses was not appointed to be the offering for the sins of the people. And Jesus prayed, "Father, let this cup pass from me, but not as I will, but as thou will." Request denied in the passing of the cup. For him whose prayer was indeed fine wine, took the cup of the wrath of God and drank it to its bitter dregs for you, for me, for us, and for our salvation. And so we also pray. We pray in the name of him whose fine prayer was denied, and may that name silence our selfish whines and steel us for suitable suffering to our vocations. And may we learn that we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God, by the dryness, by, in his mercy, fewer than 40 years. And certainly by that word incarnate, that living bread who provides helpers, even those who somehow miss out on our little service away from the camp, and puts his mark on them. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, the light of the world. Amen.